You ready for the Word of God? Yeah, I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God. I want to talk to you this morning about a fresh anointing. A fresh anointing. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to read out of Psalm 92, verse 10, just a part of that verse that says, and it says, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Hallelujah. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. How many of you is ready for some fresh oil? Hallelujah. Amen. A fresh anointing. God's here today with a fresh anointing. Let's pray. Father, we love you and I thank you for your presence, God. Thank you for your glory. You humble us, Lord. When you come, we just bow down before you. Lord, you know our hearts. Our heart is for you to come in here and have your way. Lord, to touch us with your presence. To touch us, Lord, with your glory. So move on us right now in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. How many of you know you have to change oil in your car every once in a while? Some of you didn't know that. You better get it done if you didn't know it. The viscosity of your oil breaks down over time. Its lubricant ability, and it's meant for a season. It's meant for a time. It's not meant forever. So every once in a while, you've got to go get fresh oil in your car. God has designed you the same way. I'm going to teach you something. I'll show you something. Sometimes we think, well, I had an experience with God way back 20 years ago or 30 years ago. That's great. That's awesome. But God didn't mean for you to have one experience. God didn't mean for you to have one touch. God didn't mean for you to have one anointing. And just as your car needs an oil change, there are some of God's people that are due for an oil change. And there are some of God's people that are due for some fresh oil. Let me show you why. God works in seasons. God always works in seasons. And when he does a new work, and when he does a new thing, it is for a season. It is for a time. And then the cloud moves. Things shift. And so when God pours out on you, when God does a new thing in your life, that's not a forever thing. When God rolled back the waters of the Red Sea, there might have been some people who were like, man, let's build a church right here. This is where the power of God is. This is where the glory of God is. Let's build a church right here, call it the Church of the Red Sea, and or the Church of the Rolled Back Waters or whatever, and let's just camp right here. Amen? And there have been moves of God in the past, some of the great charismatic moves of God, some of the great Pentecostal moves of God. There have been seasons when God moved a certain way and we wanted to camp there. Amen. Somebody say amen. We wanted to camp there. We wanted to stay there. We wanted that to last forever. And there are some of us old school, older people trying to hold on to some things God did 50 years ago. Folks, that was for 50 years ago. We are in a, you say, well, God don't want to do anything today. Yes, but he wants to do a new thing. God wants to pour out a fresh anointing, fresh oil. He wants to release something new. And what the Lord started speaking to me about this week, because there are times when I find myself longing for the move of God and an old move of God. And he said, Glenn, I want you to start longing for a new move of God. Not what I did back then, but what I'm ready to do now. And what I'm ready to do tomorrow, because this is a new season. It is a new time, and I have a fresh anointing for now. Listen to what Jesus prayed. Give us this day our daily bread. See, God pours out in seasons, in days, in time, what you need today, what you need at this moment. God pours out something fresh. Every day. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. Amen. God gave the children of Israel manna every day. God gave them fresh manna every day. He didn't want them eating leftovers. Amen. So he gave them fresh food. How many of you like fresh? Amen. God gave them fresh. He said, you're not going to have to eat leftovers with me. Listen to me. There are some of you that are eating leftovers. There are some of you that have been feasting on something God did 30 years ago in your life or 10 years ago in your life, and you're eating leftovers. God has cooked up a new meal for you. God has cooked up a new anointing for you. God has fresh oil for you, and he wants to release it in your life right now. Amen? Well, that's exciting. Have you had your anointing today? Have you had your fresh oil today? God, I really believe God means for you to get up every day and get a fresh anointing. For that day, he said, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day what I need. We ought to be getting up every morning and saying, God, I'm thankful for what you did for me yesterday. I'm thankful that you poured out your spirit on me yesterday. I'm thankful that you blessed my family yesterday. But I'm ready for today's blessings. I'm ready for today's anointing. I'm ready for today's mercies. I'm ready for today's glory. Amen? Right? So God's ready to pour out on you. Give us this day. Give me my manna today from heaven, that I don't need leftovers from God. Now, in the book of Acts, it says they were in that upper room and the Holy Spirit came and filled them with the Holy Spirit. They had an awesome encounter with God. But if you'll continue to read the book of Acts, you'll see just a few days later, they were in another place, and the Bible says the power of God came and the place was shaken by the power of God. And listen to this, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Wait a minute, I thought they were just filled with the Holy Spirit. They were, but God came and visited with them again. And then if you continue to read the book of Acts, you'll read another instance just a couple of chapters later where he came and he met with them again. Folks, it's the heart of God to continually just pour out on you. He's not going to run out. He's not going to run out. He's got plenty. Amen. Hallelujah. And he wants you to just pour out on you. But you know, you have to place a demand on the anointing. You have to come to, God will pour out, but he wants you to come and say, God, I'm here today and I'm hungry. And I'm not leaving until I'm full. And I'm not leaving until I've had a big drink. And I'm not leaving until you have poured out on me. The anointing makes the difference. That word anointing comes from a word that means to smear or rub. It's taking an oil and putting it in, rubbing it in. God wants to anoint you. God wants to take the oil of the Holy Spirit. God wants to take that sweet ointment and rub it in and strengthen the power of that anointing coming into your life. What does the anointing do? The anointing lifts you out of the natural into the supernatural. The anointing takes you to a new level in God. The anointing takes you to a new place in God. And the anointing makes all the difference. This pastor had preached his message, and he was shaking hands after service. And this lady came up to him and said, Pastor, I want you to know that was a really good sermon. And I was really blessed by it. And the humble pastor said, well, I didn't have anything to do with it. It was the Holy Spirit. And she said, well, it wasn't that good. And because her deal being, if the Holy Spirit was preaching, it'd been a little better than that. It wasn't quite that good. It wasn't Holy Spirit good. Well, folks, I want to tell you something. I want to be Holy Spirit good. Amen? I don't ever want to get in the way of what God is doing. Because it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God. And we want the Holy Spirit. The first sermon I ever preached, I'm going to tell myself a little bit. My pastor was going to let me preach on Sunday night. I was so excited. First time I'd ever been in front of a congregation to preach. Now, I was a speech major in college. And I won several oratorical speaking contests, and I've been in a lot of them, and I know how to speak. And that's what I told myself. I know how to speak. If anybody knows how to stand up and give a sermon, I do. And I was so confident in my ability to speak because I had a track record, right? So I'm a speech major, and I get up to make my speech. Folks, sermons and speeches are two different things. And I found that out. And I preached everything I knew from Genesis to Revelation in about 10 minutes. And I was done. I mean, I didn't have anything else to say. I told them everything I knew about God. And it didn't take but about 10 minutes. It was short. I was done. I was embarrassed. I wasn't prepared. And I just, you know, and I went and sat down, and I had people pat me on the back after the service saying, "Yeah, don't quit your day job there." But, you know, I realized, God, I didn't prepare. And it wasn't that I didn't know the material. It wasn't that. I didn't bathe it with the sweet anointing of the Holy Spirit. That oil had not been rubbed. That oil had, and I promised myself, God, I will never, ever get in a pulpit again without the anointing. Without the anointing. I know what it feels like to stand in a pulpit and try to create something, and it's not a good feeling. In fact, it stinks. Amen? How many of you have ever been in those services where we're trying to work something up, you know, we're trying to get something going, and it's just us, and it's not God? That's bad. It's bad. But when it's God, and when that fresh anointing is flowing, they went in the tabernacle every day and trimmed the lamps and replaced the bread. Why? Fresh anointing. Fresh anointing. God doing fresh things. You are the temple or tabernacle of the Lord. Amen? Say, I'm the temple of the Lord. God wants to come in you, inside of you, every day and trim that lamp. God wants to come inside of you every day and put fresh bread on the table. God wants to come inside of this tabernacle and put new anointings on the altar of incense, the place of worship. He wants to bring a fresh anointing into you every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. Something new, something fresh. Let me tell you what it will do for you. The first thing, I want you to get this. The first thing a fresh anointing will do for you is it will raise your status. The first thing I want you to realize that a fresh anointing will do for you, it will raise your status. This ought to make you good, feel good. Folks, I want you to understand something. You need to quit living like you're living. And you need to quit walking where you're walking, because you're walking below where God called you to walk. You are a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. We have been made kings and priests in the kingdom. We have been anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have been washed in His blood. We are children of the Most High God. We have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Folks, you're not who you used to be. I said you're not who you used to be. God has made you something new, and He wants us to start. You know what He did? He anointed you. He has raised your status. Hallelujah. He has lifted you up. 1 Samuel 16:1 says, God told Samuel, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse. I have chosen one of his sons to be king. Hallelujah. And when Samuel poured that oil upon David, he anointed him. What did he do? He raised his status. Oh, glory to God. That little shepherd boy that was watching those sheep out on a hillside, when that oil hit him, God said, you're not just a little shepherd anymore. You have been anointed to be a king. Children, listen to me, child of God. God has anointed you to be a king and a priest in the kingdom of God. You are not who you used to be. The minute that oil hits you, He raises you up to something new, something wonderful, something glorious. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. He took Aaron, the brother of Moses, who, bless his heart, Aaron just, you know, he bounced around and struggled and stumbled and trying to find his way. But when God put that oil on him, he became the high priest of Israel. God raised his status. Little Elisha followed the mighty prophet Elijah around, stayed in his footsteps. Elijah was his mentor. Elijah was his idol. Elijah was everything he wanted to be. He saw an anointing and a power in Elijah's life, and he followed him around. And then when that anointing oil was poured upon Elisha and he became the prophet of God, and like Elijah, he could cry out, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And Elisha performed exactly
exactly two times the number of miracles that Elijah did. God elevated the status of that young prophet to be and made him a great and mighty prophet of God. And what elevated his status? It was the anointing. It was the anointing. So God raises your status. And the other thing he does is he reaffirms your calling. God reaffirms your calling. The Bible says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Say, I am called. Say, I am chosen by the hand of God. I am a new creature. All things have passed away. Amen. Oh, it elevates your status. Here's the other thing it does. It gives you fresh vision and revelation. Revelation chapter 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 says, but you have an anointing. Say, I have an anointing. You have an anointing from the Holy One that all of you will know the truth. Folks, there's one truth. There's not a bunch of different truths. There's one truth. We only need one truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? If I had a little bottle with a cure for cancer, and I told you this little bottle's a cure for cancer, you wouldn't look at that bottle and say, well, I don't like the color of it. I don't like the shape of it. I don't like the way it tastes. I don't like this about it. I don't like the rules that come with it. It cures cancer. Folks, God gave us one cure for the sins of humanity. God gave us one cure for the world. And one thing that will wash away the plague that smites the world. One thing. But the world looks at it and says, I don't like the shape of the bottle. I don't like the name of it. I don't like the way it looks. I don't like this and that. They can't stand the name of Jesus. And you know what? If there's no power in the name of Jesus, if Jesus was everything you say he was, if Jesus was just a prophet, if Jesus was just a man, if Jesus was not the Son of God, why does the name of Jesus bother you so much? If there's no power in the name of Jesus and the name of Jesus is nothing, why does the name of Jesus bother you so much? I'll tell you why the name of Jesus bothers them. It's the greatest name the world has ever heard. It is the name that drives away demons. It is the name that drives away sickness. It is the name that drives away sin. And the devil hates that name. Oh, I love the name of Jesus. And that is the truth. That is the one truth. And a fresh anointing opens your eyes. Revelation 3:18 says, anoint your eyes. We need anointed eyes, church. We need anointed eyes so that we can see. When Joshua and Caleb went into that land, the 12 spies were sent in the land. By the way, that wasn't God's idea to send the 12 spies into the land. God permitted it. God allowed it. But if you'll read it real carefully, they asked God, they asked Moses, could they send spies into the land because they were afraid. God told them to take the land. God said the land, why would God need to spy the land out? What was there God needed to know about? It didn't matter. God didn't need to spy the land out. Take it. I gave it to you. It belongs to you. Take it. No, we want to talk about it. We want to pray about it. We want to have a committee. We want to work through. We want to send spies. We want to blah, blah, blah. And that's the way, amen. That's what we do. And so they sent spies in the land. And two of them went with anointed eyes. I'm going to say that again. Two of them went with anointed eyes. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb's eyes were anointed. You know what they saw? The others saw giants. They saw walled cities. They saw chariots. They saw weapons, and they saw all kind of obstacles, and they saw adversary. But the two guys with anointed eyes, what they saw, they said, we are well able to possess this land that God has given us. Folks, it makes such a difference if you have anointed eyes. If your eyes are not anointed, all you're going to see is trouble. If your eyes are not anointed, all you're going to see is defeat. If your eyes are not anointed, all you're going to see is despair. If your eyes are not anointed, all you're going to see is disease and sickness. But if you have anointed eyes and the power of the Holy Spirit has hit you, you start seeing things the way God sees them. You start seeing yourself the way God sees you. You see your family the way God sees you. Amen. Y'all, don't give up on me. Stay with me. Amen. Not only that, but it gives fresh faith. It gives fresh faith. Listen to Isaiah 21 and 5. They set the tables. They spread the rugs. And they sat down to eat. And they drink. And then the command was given to get up your officers and anoint the shield. Many times those shields were made out of wood and leather. And those shields had to be anointed or rubbed with oil, or the leather would get old and crack. And when they were in battle, the shield would not do its job. Church, listen to me. The Bible says, above all, take the shield of faith. Above all, you have to believe. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. At some point, somebody's got to believe something. At some point, amen? At some point, somebody's got to start believing. Somebody's got to stand up and say, I believe God is a healer. I believe God is a savior. I believe God is a deliverer. I believe that God is mighty. I believe that God is able. And take that shield of faith. But that shield of faith has to be anointed, because over the course of battles and fights, you get beat down. You get tired. And every once in a while, you need to anoint that shield. Church, it's time for battle. You're going into battle, you need an anointed shield. You need a shield of faith that has been touched with the anointing of God. And I'm going to tell you something. Glenn, you still believe the word of God? Yes, I believe the word of God. Amen. I was watching some TV program not long ago. You know how these panels, they sit around and talk, and they were talking. And one of them said, do you know? And these are the intelligentsia, you know, the people that. And one of them said, do you know there are still people in this country that believe in Noah's flood? And they laughed and giggled, and they said, do you know there's still people that believe in the ark, and they believe that story? There's people. And I sat there and thought, I are one of them. I believe that story because I believe the word of God from the book of Genesis to Revelation, and I believe the word of God is true. Hallelujah. And they've never been able to disprove it, and don't think they hadn't tried. Folks, there are scholars doing everything they can to disprove the Bible, but they won't disprove it because God is the God of science. God is the God of archaeology. God is the God of zoology. God is the God of it all. And when they finally scale the peaks of knowledge, they will find a bunch of Christians sitting up there that's been up there all the time, and we can look at them and say, we've known the truth the whole time. Amen. We know. We know, oh, we need to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Amen. We need to fall in love with Jesus all over again. We need a new Jesus revival. What we need is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Can't get enough of Jesus. I'm thirsty for Jesus. I'm hungry for Jesus. I need a fresh touch. I need a fresh touch of Jesus. I need a fresh touch of Jesus. I've told y'all that story about those young people we had that time that came. I don't even remember where they came from, but they got here. They were going to minister on a Sunday morning, and they got here on a Saturday afternoon, and I met them up here at the church, and they wanted to check the sound equipment. They wanted to do some things, and so I opened up the church and let them in, spoke to them, you know, and then I said, I'll go run up the sound booth, cut everything on for you, and I ran up into the sound booth, and I was cutting stuff on, and all of a sudden I heard something. And I was up right there in that sound booth, and I stood up and looked over the thing, and those kids were all down around this altar. I mean, they were seeking God. And the power of God was just all over them, and the anointing, that fresh anointing, that fire was just coming off of them. And I was a tired, burned-out pastor who wasn't walking with that fire. I hadn't changed the oil in my car in a while. Amen? I hadn't changed the oil. The oil wasn't as, listen to me, church. I'm telling you, the oil wasn't as fresh as it should have been. And I'm telling you, I felt the power of God coming off those kids. And it just, I said, Lord, I remember when I was like that. I remember when that fire was in me like that. I remember when I had that fresh oil. I remember when how many of you, church, know what I'm talking about? You remember when you were madly in love with Jesus. You remember that? Amen. Hallelujah. You know those couples driving down the car in the road and they look like one body with two heads? They just squashed up right against each other. That's love. That's that first love. And those that's been married a while leaning against the door handles on both sides, they look like they're trying to crawl out the window. The Bible says, return to your first love. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We get in love with Jesus again. And lastly, it gives fresh deliverance. Isaiah 10:27 says, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Hallelujah. That, this is the verse we get that expression, the anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing delivers. The anointing shatters. Let me tell you how that works. They take these oxen and they have flies and pests and gnats and that get in their ears and get in their nose, and they create disease, and they irritate, and they bother those big oxen. Just these little pests, that big strong oxen, but that little pest is irritating him, biting him, got in his nostrils, got in his ears. So they would take the oil, they would take the anointing oil, and they would smear it all down into their ears and up into their nostrils. They'd smear, and they would cover their heads with this oil, just cover their heads with oil. And when they did that, it protected them. Oh, glory. When they did that, it protected them from those irritants, from those things. Listen to me, church. The Bible says, put on the helmet of salvation, that you may be able to stand against all the works of the enemy. I want to tell you something. There is a devil out there that's irritating you. He's coming and he tries to irritate. He tries to bite. He tries to nag. It's those little things, those little things. And he just keeps, until after a while, he wears you down. The Bible says in the book of Daniel, trying to wear out the saints. And we're living in a day when people are wearing out. People are giving up. People are getting tired. This is why you need fresh oil. This is why you need a fresh anointing. This is why you need the helmet of salvation. This is why you need to come this morning and let God just cover your head and pour oil all over you, and those little irritants can't bother you anymore. Hallelujah. Yeah. Folks, I'll tell you right now, the devil cannot hang around where there's an anointing. He can't. He can't. But listen to this. Because the oxen was being protected, he got healthy. And because he got healthy, he grew stronger and he grew bigger. And because he grew stronger and he grew bigger, the yoke that they would put on those oxen for farming were no longer big enough. Oh, glory. The oxen would outgrow the yoke. The oxen would break the anointing that oxen would break the yoke that was on his neck, and he would be released from it. The anointing will bring you the deliverance in your life that you need. The anointing will bring you the protection, and the anointing will bring you the deliverance, which means the anointing will set you free. The anointing will break the yokes of the enemy in your life. The anointing will break the yokes and bondage and chains and shackles of the enemy in your life. And this is why we need fresh oil. Amen? Every day. We need that daily dose. Hallelujah. Glory. We ask musicians to come. You need that fresh touch, fresh wind, fresh water. Oh God, come touch me again. Come touch me again. Come touch me again. I believe God wants to touch some people this morning with a fresh anointing. I believe God wants to give some people an oil change. And I know you need it. Don't sit there and act like you don't. I've been there. I know what it's like to get tired. I know what it's like to try to walk in your own strength. We all have fallen into that trap. But the power of God is here to give you a fresh anointing. Let's all stand up.